we were just laid off and we had two little kids. So just starting a new business from scratch, and so that was challenging. Yeah. And especially like selling a product that nobody knew about it. That was challenging.
It is such a pleasure to be here with Noelia Paisa. Noelia is a creative, beautiful soul. And also, she is the co-owner of Abarcas USA.
Oh, thank you.
And for those that don't know Abarcas, you should go like this so that they can see Abarcas. So these are the very cool sandals that when you're traveling in Spain, everyone is wearing, basically.
Right. If you go to Barcelona, you'll see from kids to, you know, my dad, that he's 75, wearing Abarcas. It's a traditional shoe from the Mediterranean.
It's specifically from Menorca, right?
Menorca. Yeah, Menorca is a little island right next to Spain.
I've been to Menorca and I love it. It's just a beautiful place. I hear, of course, that they speak Catalan, but I hadn't noticed that there's an accent. Maybe because I don't speak Catalan, so I can't tell that there's an accent.
Yeah, I mean, some words are even different. And it's completely, it's fascinating when we go to the Ponds workshop and we talk to the owners. It's funny that, you know, like that we both speak the same language, but completely different words, but still we are able to understand each other.
That's lovely.
It's nice. It's very nice.
So let's go back because you are from Barcelona.
Yes.
You are from Catalonia. My favorite city in the entire world.
I know.
A very special place in my heart. That's what Barcelona has. Very, very special place in my heart. And so you are originally from there. Your husband as well.
Yes.
So take us back because you've been living now in San Diego for how long?
19 years.
19 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I don't know why on my notes I have like 15 years. No,
yeah,
19 years.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Time flies. Yeah, I mean, Jose and I, we were actually in elementary school together.
Oh!
But after, eventually, you know, he went to one college, I went to another. And we never see each other for 12 years. And then one day we were in kind of like a club there in Barcelona and we saw each other and we started talking. So,
how old were you at the time when you guys reconnected?
29.
Okay.
29, yes. And then, yeah, at that time he was working for Nokia in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
So that weekend, the next day actually that we talked, he went back to Finland. And somehow, you know, we started, you know, like connecting again and sending emails and all that stuff. So we fell in love, basically. So 2 months later, he decided, you know, to come to Barcelona and transfer from Helsinki in Finland to Barcelona to
How
work.
Long was he in Helsinki?
He spent 3 winters there, three years. He always counts the winters.
The winters! I was going to say, that's interesting. Not 3 years, three winters.
It's so cold. But
did you get a chance to go there?
Yes, yeah. It's so beautiful. It's very nice. And Helsinki has so much art. And it's nice. And for me, you know, coming from Barcelona, it was unique, you know, seeing like snow everywhere and everything. But for people, you know, there's like, oh, we are so tired of like, you know, like
the
so
snow,
much
the
cold and everything. Yeah. So yeah, basically, so he transferred to Nokia Barcelona. And a month later, he was offered a position here in San Diego. So it's when, you know, we decided to get married there. We did like a big party for
two. So wait. So how long have you guys been together?
A few months.
Married and moved.
Few months.
A few months.
But when you know it, you
oh,
know
yeah.
it.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I completely agree. When you know, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So it was. We did like a you know, a big wedding or a big party with friends and family and everything. And a month later, we moved here
to
San Diego. Yes. And he started working for Nokia.
Okay. And did you know what you wanted to do at the time when you came here?
No, I was a little bit lost because there in Barcelona, I used to work for a company like running in the accounts department. But at that time, I didn't love my job.
Yeah.
but it was, you know, my work and everything. So here I wanted to do something different and reinvent myself a little bit. Yeah.
And so then when you moved here, that's when you decided to start also Abarcas, or you waited a little bit?
We waited a little because at that time, I mean, I had shoes, I had Abarcas and I had Pons, actually, this brand. But no, I never, you know, thought of bringing the shoes here. It was eventually when, after some time, you know, I was like in the park, I was in Whole Foods, I was in all these places, and people were like, oh, what are these? Like, I love your shoes, like completely like strangers, you know, like would
they probably just, it probably reminded them of their travels and just traveling specifically in Spain, right, where you see so many people wearing them.
Exactly, like some people remind them their travels, some others they love the simple style, you know, and that it was handmade and leather, so it was nice, you know, like, and then it's like, oh, wow, someday I'll have to bring these shoes here. But I started working also for Nokia and, you know, like we were like, kind of like.
So both of you then were working at Nokia at some point.
Yes.
For how long were you both at Nokia?
Jose longer. I was there for 2-3 years, I would say. Yeah, I had two kids.
Yes.
That's so, why so I had.
That's why the times are a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah.
Wait, so then you moved here and you had your kids practically right after, right? Or maybe within a few years?
4 years later.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years later. Yes. Yeah.
And then that's where you decided to.
Yeah, go. we had the kids. And yeah, my son, he's now 14. He was wearing the shoes and we would go, you know, to all the parks and everything. All the moms were like, oh, I love these shoes. Like, where are these? So it's like, okay. And then it's when, you know, Nokia had some, they started like laying off people because, you know, like things.
Because life.
Life, yeah. So we, all of us, you know, we were like laid off, all Nokia San Diego.
Wow.
So it's when I had the chance, you know, to say like, okay, let's do it. Let's bring the shoes that we always, you know, love them and we've been wearing for all our lives, you know. So yes. let's do it.
Let me ask you this. When that happened, you decided to stay and to try this because you could have just gone back to Spain,
right?
Gone back to Barcelona and
or you know, like looking for another job or something. But yeah, no, we knew that we wanted to do something, like to have our little project.
Mm-hmm. So it was always in the back of your mind.
Yes, then. always. Oh, I always had this kind of like dream, you know, like someday I have to bring these shoes because I love them. People, I mean, nobody, none of the stores, none were selling these shoes.
I think still you are the only, right? It's just, I haven't seen another brand.
There's some other brands have tried, you know, like copies, like copycats of the original. These are, they've been doing these shoes since 1945. So it's, and they receive like a seal that they're authentic of Abarcas. So there are some other brands out there that they're trying, you know, to mimic the style and everything, but the quality of the leather and everything, it's not the same.
So then you both decided to bring this. Of course, you had to speak with the company. So there was no distribution in the U.S.
No. Actually, the only market was only Spain. And since my Abarcas were Pons, we contacted the company. I mean, we sent an email and we said like, hey, we're interested to, you know, to bring these shoes here. And we started, you know, like bringing, they were like trying to find someone, like not in the U.S., but anywhere in the world, because it was during the first financial crisis in Spain, like on, I believe in 2004. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, they were also interested of expanding, like moving out from Spain, because they were like envisioning, you know, like a financial crash.
Yeah.
And so we kind of like met, like organically met. So it was very nice. And we started, you know, like with 2,000 pairs. And then, yeah, we were like
Where
kind of
were you
like,
placing them initially? Because you got the distribution. Did you need a warehouse, or you just used your home
no.
as a warehouse in the beginning, probably?
It was our house.
Yeah.
It was our garage. So we had all our shoes in the garage. And yeah, I mean, we knew every single, you know, it was all divided by styles and colors. So you would tell me, you know, like a classic brown in size 8, bam, I will go there. Even though it looks like a mess, like
But
not a mess.
you knew exactly where everything
Yes,
was,
no, it was
and
not a mess, but yeah, we knew every spot and everything. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, well, I don't know how was the whole paperwork, the just to figure that out, like with the US, the bringing them in, and the
Yeah.
legal aspects of it.
Right. That was like something challenging at first because we never, you know, experienced doing something similar.
You had to set up a company.
Yes, yeah, that was easy. Like fortunately, and I'm very grateful, you know, it's kind of like easy to start a company here. So that's in if you compare, you know, the US with Spain, here it's easier. So I'm grateful for that because that was easy in that sense. Then all the paperwork and export and everything. Luckily, Jose, I mean, he's like committed and he can research and all of this. So we were able, you know, to do almost everything by ourselves. He's an engineer, so he also like built the website. So we were able to do everything by ourselves, everything, like from Instagram to the website to shipping,
Were the kids helping?
everything.
Or they were too small,
No. No, they
right?
were small. No, the opposite. Like, I remember like shipping to Urban Outfitters. We had shoes like everywhere in the house because the way that they want to receive the shipments is like by style and by color. So a lot of boxes. And I remember my kids like going on the boxes and we were like,
No.
oh my God.
Well,
Yeah.
must have been challenging, right? Because you were also, I mean, being a mom of two kids
Yeah.
in a different, in a new country. And I know your kids now speak what, like three languages, four
Four,
languages.
yes.
Where do they feel they belong to, though?
I think everywhere. I mean, they're easy to adapt. I think I mean, they're almost well, teenage. They're teenagers, so I think they belong here.
They feel American.
They feel yeah, they feel American because we are here and they speak, well, they have American friends. Well, they have a mix of everything, which is the beauty of, you know, being here. But they follow kind of like also like our traditions, right? I mean, our food, our lifestyle. So I think they're a mix of everything and they can adapt to everything.
Yeah, I think that's really nice about the US. It's something that it really offers you, how you can keep your roots, you can keep your traditions, you can be very proud of them and still be a part of a larger community where everyone is going towards the same goals and the same common objectives in terms of, you know, like everyone at the end of the day, I think we all want the same thing. We want to be happy, we want to
Right.
be spend time with our families, we want to spend time with friends, and you're able to do that and still have your roots and you know, the food we eat,
Right.
the different things.
Yeah.
I was in Convoy Street here in San Diego, and
Oh.
it was like it's a place basically dedicated to Asian culture, and it's so lovely to see that you have that in San Diego, and you
Yeah.
also have the area that is primarily Mexican and the area that is primarily Arab. And yeah, it's nice. I don't think there's an area that is Spanish, though.
No, there's a restaurant that is Spanish.
It's
Yeah, it's
the
the
only one.
only one. Yeah, and it's funny because sometimes it's you feel that it's kind of like that you are there.
But there's a pretty large Spanish community in San Diego.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah, there's a huge community of people that come to work in biotechs. Mm-hmm. Or
I think they all play paddle also.
Yes. We all met there. It's nice, actually. It's mm-hmm. it's nice to find a place also that, you know, you can play a sport and also like speak your language and after that, you know, like meet for, you know, oh, let's go to a restaurant or and build this community. It's nice.
Yeah, I think the U.S. and San Diego in particular, because it's where we live, it offers a lot of great opportunities.
That's amazing. That's so nice. And that's so rich, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that you can experience like food and everything.
It's a good place to be.
Yes.
But tell me what you miss about Barcelona. I know you go often. Your family is there. It's nice because both your families are there. So when you go, you get to visit both families.
Right. Yeah. No, we try to go once a year in summertime. I mean, I would say what I miss really is the way. I mean, you can walk everywhere there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start from up in you know, uptown Barcelona, let's say, and then
start in Tibidabo.
Yes,
make your
exactly,
way down.
and make all your way down to the ocean, and in all this way you find, you know, some bars or some or people walking and boutiques and life, you know. Whereas here, I mean, I love San Diego. Love it. It's not a place, you know, that you can walk, you know, like, let's say, from one place to another. There's
imagine walking from your house to my house.
Yeah, no.
It's impossible.
No, it's impossible. There's no light. There's no nothing. So this is the only thing that I kind of miss. Like, sometimes, like, when we go there, we just walk, you know, like, And then we have, you know, little stops, you know, okay, let's have like a little tapa here. And then you end up, you know, you get lost in the Gothic quarter. And so there's no limit, right? Like there's no, whereas here sometimes I feel there's more limitations, right, to walk.
Well, here if you don't have a car, it's pretty much can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Public transportation is, I mean, it's there, but it's not as it's actually easy to use. It's just not convenient because everything is, there's such a huge distance between the different areas, right? Every neighborhood is so particular and just moving from one neighborhood to the next is tough. Every time we go back to Spain or we're in Europe and we come back, we're always like, we're just gonna try to walk everywhere. And even from South Park to North Park, we're like, we're just gonna walk there.
Yeah.
It's doable.
Yes, yeah. North Park and South Park,
South Park, but it's doable, but not as much as you would think.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes to get from one spot to the next. Whereas 20 minutes in, at least I know in Barcelona, 20 minutes, you're like practically when like half of the city.
That's true.
It's a very different experience.
But no, I mean, you live in a place that, you can walk to many places, right? Yeah. Like, whereas there's other places that it's like,
you need to take
the car.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the whole like walkability component, I think it's so nice to have, regardless of where you are. I mean,
right.
It's nice to have that. It's difficult to have it.
Yeah.
But if it's possible, it's really nice to have. Well, speaking of tapas, okay, so we have some chips, Sandy Visa chips. I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together. And the olives, these are Spanish olives with anchovies and
serpis.
I love serpis. It's interesting. Well, now I pay like three times the price for serpis, but it's completely worth it. And we're having a beautiful sparkling wine. It's a cava. Mm. It started off as a cava. Now it's with the label Corpinat. And you're familiar with
yes.
Of course with this. And for those not familiar, so cava is the sparkling wine of Spain. Specifically, it was born in Catalonia in the area of Penedès, which is about I think an hour from Barcelona. And it's a beautiful region with a
yes.
Mediterranean climate and mm-hmm. a really nice river that flows through the region. And the sparkling wine cava is produced in the same style as champagne. So it has a double fermentation in the bottle, which is this really amazing process of elaborating sparkling wines. It's produced with indigenous varietals. So champagne usually is produced with, it's seven varietals, but primarily it's produced with Chardonnay, with Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. Cava is primarily produced with Charolo, Macabeo and Parellada.
Yes.
So cava is, it started off in Penedès in Catalonia, but now it can be produced in other regions of Spain as well. So because of this, a small group of wineries, Gramona being one of them, which is the cava we are having now, the sparkling wine. And I keep on jumping from sparkling wine cava because it's now a Cortinat, but I want to get to that.
Yeah.
So a couple of wineries came together and said, okay, we are from Penedès. We want to raise the standards and they created this label called Corpinat. And a Corpinat, you're going to love the name of the word. So Corpinat comes from cor, which in Catalan means heart.
Mm-hmm.
And pinat is the etymological name of pinae, which is the original name or where the name Penedès came from.
Oh.
So it's the heart of Penedès. Yeah, so that's why Corpinat.
That's nice. I didn't know.
The heart of Penedès, and it is really the heart of Penedès. So all of the wineries that are now part of this, it started off I think with five. Gramona was one of the original wineries. Now I believe it's up to about 11 wineries that are labeled as Corpinat.
Mm.
So they're no longer labeled as cava; they're labeled as Corpinat. And essentially, they have very strict regulations. Everything has to be harvested by hand.
Wow.
They have to be in Penedès. The process, they have a longer aging process for the wines. It has to be vinified or produced also at the winery. So that's why they have not cava but Corpinat. So they're it's basically you're buying really quality. You know that if it's a Corpinat, you're buying quality, you're buying tradition, you're buying history, and you're buying a heart of Penedès.
So beautiful.
So cheers.
Salud.
Salud. Salud. And this goes really nice with the chips.
So beautiful.
It's a beautiful Corpinat.
Mm-hmm. And really the same winery can have both cava and Corpinat or no?
It's either cava
or Corpinat.
Yes,
like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And right now it's 11. Recaredo is
another
very famous one that also is a Corpinat. I love the whole background of the name. And it actually only started Corpinat officially. It became a label in 2017. So it's fairly new.
Yeah,
it's very new. And I know your dad, you were telling me, your dad used to work at Sumarroca.
Yeah, Sumarroca, yeah.
So Sumarroca is another
it's cava,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
another
I don't
winery.
Think they're like, they don't make Corpinat, they do cava and wines. Yeah, he started with a company when there was no Sumarroca on the market, and he and another little team started, you know, like promoting it and selling it to stores and going to fairs as well in San Sadurní d'Anoia and all this place everywhere. And now Sumarroca is a very good,
it's one of the main cavas in the
yes.
region. Do they, I'm pretty sure they also, they sell outside of.
I've checked actually here, like some of the websites, and I haven't seen any Sumaroca. So, but yeah, sometimes I wonder.
Sadly, I most of the kava I found, I find it online. Not at any local shops. But it's okay. Yeah. You can buy online.
Someday. Maybe no, after this video.
Yes. So tell me about Noelia that came to the U.S. versus the Noelia that is here now after almost 20 years.
Yeah, wow.
That's some time now.
It's a lifetime. Yeah, no, it's been a great journey, actually. The last 20 years, it's been a great journey and a lot, you know, like, it's been a great opportunity, you know, to learn other cultures and learning the language as well. I mean, when I came...
Oh, yes. Did you speak English?
Spoke some, but not too much, actually. So at that time when I was in elementary school or in college, we were doing English, but not so much as nowadays. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the television, for example, in Spain, it's all...
Yeah,
in Spanish
or Catalan. If it's in English, right? It's doblado. I don't know how you say that. Translated.
Translated, like
translated
voice.
With the voice. Yes,
yes. With a voice.
Usually, really ugly voice.
Yes. Yeah. Something that sometimes doesn't make any sense. But they use the same voice for all the movies. Like, for example, you know, like Tom Cruise would have the same voice for all his movies.
So it's always that's the Tom
same.
Cruise voice.
Yes, yeah,
it's
that's
the
true.
Same in Mexico. It's exactly the same. And we would always make fun of it because, like, the translations were ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Recorcholis, like stuff like that.
Yeah, and you see, you know, the actor saying Recorcholis.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, same there. So, yeah, so at that time, we didn't have, you know, that much exposure to English like kids have nowadays, you know, with YouTube and TikTok and all these things. But, yeah, I mean, basically, I went to a community college here to learn English. I spent maybe like 5-6 hours every day with great, great teachers. Like, I would be always... thankful for all these teachers that they didn't only taught me, you know, English, but also like, you know, what do you do here? Like, you can go to a supermarket and ask for a rain check, you know, on all these things that the everyday.
It's all the cultural aspects also of being living here.
Yes, exactly. Things that you will never know, you know, being in an English school, you know, like learning the language. They taught me the language, but also, you know, like costumes, traditions, and items, and all these things. So, yeah, very good. And yeah, at that time, you know, I was kind of like doing different jobs, and I used to work in a law firm, also an immigration law firm. So I was able to use my Spanish.
Yeah, you were practicing also.
Yes.
Or was it mainly Spanish that you were using?
It was English too. I used to do translations, and I was helping the attorney, like working kind of like a paralegal.
Okay.
I got to meet, you know, like a lot of people from Guatemala, from all these places, and hear their stories. That also like opened my eyes and everything. I mean, I used to cry a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Like listening to all these stories.
That's beautiful because you got to see from the inside what happens.
Yeah.
In terms of immigration to this country, and you know the difference between having the door open or having the door closed. That's a tough topic.
No, I mean that was yes, but I mean I've always been like fortunate because I came here with a plane, right? And I had a place to sleep the same night that we came. So that's we are lucky.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah, we are lucky.
Yeah. Lucky. But yeah, I mean 20 years ago, I mean it was fun. We it was exciting because for the very first, with our goal was to come here just for a couple of years, just, you know, as an experience and everything. So we got to do a lot during the first 2 years.
Did you travel a lot here?
Yeah, we did some travel and everything. But then eventually, you know, we got into projects, into, you know, like starting a job and this and that. And we are almost like, you know, we are still here.
Yeah. What are the biggest challenges as a company that you face? And also, I mean, working with your husband, that's tricky. That's tricky.
Sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes. It's not fantastic and ideal. I mean, now it's good because we learn, you know, our strengths and our weaknesses from each other. And so he's more also like more, he's an engineer. So
yeah, I was about
like,
to say he's an engineer.
Yes,
so that sums it up.
And I'm more like more the artistic side and the social side.
And the spontaneous side.
Yes.
The creative side.
Yes. Yes.
It's a nice balance to have though. It's a
yeah,
really nice balance.
Exactly. So I guess like we kind of match, you know, because each of us now we don't get into one field, you know, like I don't like, you know, Excel spreadsheets, and I mean I get lost. I don't like it. So I'm thankful, you know, that he loves it,
and he probably hates doing all the Instagram
exactly,
and all the social media
the social
side
media
of it
and pictures and stuff. So each one, you know, like found their spot. But yeah, the very beginning, yes, you know, there was like a little bit also, I mean, we were just laid off and we had two little kids. So just starting a new business from scratch and with
that
uncertainty.
That sounds like a lot of pressure also.
So that was challenging, yeah. And especially like selling a product that nobody knew about it. That was challenging and risky, but we thought, let's do it and let's try it.
And how long do you feel it took for it to really kick off? Like for you to say, okay, like we can live off of this? Because I'm sure at the beginning it was more of a trial and,
yeah,
right? Like, okay, like we'll see if this works. And if it doesn't work, there's a plan B. I'm
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, there was a plan B. And the plan B was to look for a job and do, you know, like, he, you know, continue being an engineer or me, you know, working in a law firm or continuing in Nokia in another company.
The status though, like, did you have the visa you need in order to do that?
Yes. At that time we had the green card.
Okay. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were not, you know, forced
okay,
to leave
yes.
the country without, yeah, we were lucky that we got, we had the green card.
Okay.
And then we came.
Well, your
see.
Kids were born here.
Yes.
I don't know if that would make a difference.
No. No, because no. But yeah, then eventually we became U.S.
citizens.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the first years were challenging. Well, not the first years. No, not the first years. We were like super, super lucky that we had like some friends and some connections, like some store owners,
mm-hmm.
because before I used to make jewelry as a side job, you know.
Oh.
So I knew
well,
like
you
some...
used to make the jewelry while living in Spain
no
or
here
here,
the,
okay.
here. Yes,
okay.
I used to sell my jewelry in different stores in San Diego.
Oh.
So I kind of had a friendship with the owners of the stores. So when we told them that we were starting the company and everything, they were also, they loved the shoes and they wanted, you know, to have few pairs in the store. And all of a sudden they started, you know, selling them. And so it was pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I have to say that we were like so lucky the first month that San Diego Union Tribune somehow found out about us, and I received an email saying that they wanted to feature us.
Oh, wow.
And we thought like, okay, let's do it.
That's so awesome.
But we thought, you know, that they would ask us, you know, like few questions, and we would be, you know, on a small portion of a full page. Turns out that they sent me like a questionnaire, and I answer all the questions. That Sunday, we start receiving orders and orders and orders, and we were like, what is that? Like, what's going on? And one of the customers emailed us saying like, oh, I saw your write-up in Union Tribune. So amazing to see these shoes here in the US. And I went to get the newspaper, and right there, like in a full page, there was my picture with a full write-up in the full page. We're like, wow. So all of
a
sudden,
I hope you have this framed.
Yes. No, I have it.
So
it's
awesome.
Something amazing.
That's like where like destiny, right? When it's meant to be.
Wow.
Must have been so great to just have that happen so early on.
Yeah, it was the first, I would say like the first 6 months or so. So, and then all of a sudden, all these new stores, you know, like they would contact us saying like, oh, we saw your write-up and we would love to carry your shoes in the store. So little by little,
This was then how many years ago? So you guys have been here for 19, but Abarcas in the U.S.
Abarcas, this year will be our 12th anniversary.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. That was also just on time, right? Because 12 years ago, I feel like all the cute little shops started popping up everywhere. And
yeah.
I think that's where Abarcas, you find it at these specialty shops that have like all very cute things. I don't know what other, like very different.
Exactly. Yeah. Things that are unique or that they have a story behind. Mm-hmm. And
I remember the first time I saw them at the shop, I had already met you. And I mean, I know the shoes. I have pairs of shoes, not Bonds. Sorry.
That's okay.
this was before when
yes,
I was
like,
in Spain. I bought, but it wasn't Bonds. and I remember you saying, because in some places they're called Menorquinas, right?
Yeah, they call it Menorquinas.
So the name that I'm used to saying is Menorquinas.
Yeah, because they come from Menorca, from the island of Menorca, so
that's
Menorquinas.
Right.
So people, they call it Abarcas, Menorquinas, or by their brand.
Yeah. And what's so cool is that you have so many different sizes, and the kid sizes that, you know, some of us need to wear kid size.
Yeah, I mean, sizes for everybody. I mean, everybody has to wear them.
That was
so
funny when I came to the shop and we were like trying to figure out my
size.
And I was like, oh, I'm a
size 2, right?
Well, I'm a 4, US 4, 34 European. But when we tried them on, the Abarca, we were like, no, you're not a 34. I think that was a 33. Or
a 33 or 32 and a half.
Just a very embarrassing size,
no,
like a kid size.
No.
But they were cheaper.
Cheaper. Yeah, the kid size are cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're lucky. But yeah, we have, you know, like sizes from infants all the way to size 13 men. That there's some women that also can wear, you know, they wear size 13 men.
Because they're unisex, right?
Yeah, they're unisex. So it's the same style. Maybe the men's shoes are a little bit wider, but they're the same.
I think the kids is a little bit thinner, like not narrow, more narrow. Which is nice because it helps.
Yeah. Narrow and small.
Yeah, narrow and small.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
So what's next for Abarca?
Well, I mean, now we started, you know, carrying more things from Spain. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate, like things that are handmade or that they have a story behind.
I remember you at some point mentioning you wanted to bring these, was it bags or?
Yeah, we have them now.
Oh,
yeah, we
cool.
have. We have baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are made in Morocco.
Okay.
But yeah, we have the traditional, you know, like market bags that you can carry, you know, going to the farmer's market, to the beach, to everywhere. I mean, I carry them all the time, every day for anything. And then we carry also like vases that are handmade by a company in Alicante. That's in south of Catalonia, like
yes.
Barcelona. And it's fascinating because some of the pieces, they even have like some of the fingerprints. So they make everything. It's nice.
Oh, that's, and you sell it online, right?
Online,
have
yes.
Have you considered a shop?
I would love, I always, I love the...
I can see you
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I love interaction like with the people mm-hmm. and to find, you know, the perfect pair or the perfect everything, you know, like... I cherish a lot, cherish that moment, you know, like that connection of, you know, like knowing that someone is, you know, like getting the right size and the right color for that person. And I love that.
Yeah.
We had a little pop-up shop.
I remember.
Yeah. When you got your shoes.
It was so much fun.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it.
So maybe that's in the works, in the plans.
Maybe. Why not? Maybe. I mean, I'm open, you know, to anything. Yeah, I'm open, you know, to find like a little space, you know, that that we can have all the handmade things, like from shoes to the vases and olive oil too.
Yes. Oh my God!
From
yes, please. Yes, that's my favorite. Olive oil is Spanish olive oil.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people. Prefer Italian? No, I think it's a competition. I love Italian olive oil
There's
as well.
Good ones.
And Greek olive oil
yes.
and all the olive oils. But yes, Arbequina for me is that's my favorite olives for olive oil, and it's from Spain. So
yeah.
There
yeah,
used to be this olive oil specialty shop a few blocks from where we lived in Barcelona, and we would go there. Oh, I loved that place.
Wow.
I loved it so much. Now it closed. It's in Travesera de Gracia.
Ah.
Travesera de Gracia and Torrendoloya.
Ah.
Right on the corner.
Oh.
And it closed. But I used to go there all the time and just try all the different olive oils.
I mean, you lived in a perfect place.
Yeah.
Gracia is one of my favorite places in Barcelona. It's like a little town. In the middle of a big city, and you have all these specialty stores and
yeah, I always when I so I lived for those listening, I lived in Spain for many years and I lived in Spain
it's
for
like
many
nobody
years
was.
Yeah for no it's perfect for those listening yeah I lived in Spain for many years and I lived in Barcelona so I lived in Catalonia and I lived in Barcelona and I always when people ask. Where did you live? I lived in Barcelona, but I lived in Gracia. Gracia is very different.
Yes.
Gracia is a neighborhood that is so, I mean, it's really Catalan. It's so authentic. It's it's the most authentic neighborhood I could think of. I think any other neighborhood as authentic would probably be out in the outskirts, not so much in the center.
Yeah.
Right? More the outskirts of
right.
the city.
Yeah, because you walk a little bit and you are in Passeig de Gracia,
yeah.
Passeig de Gracia, which
yeah,
is
yeah.
the... You know, the
like
more...
the heart. The,
yeah,
the
heart
main,
and...
The main, well, not the main, but one of the main streets.
Yeah, there's such a big difference of like being in a city and then you walk just a few blocks away
yeah.
and you are then kind of like a little town in the middle of the city.
Yeah, it's a very special place.
And people meet there for vermouth.
Yes.
And there's a vermouth place in the corner. It's a very old place that I love going there.
In Plaza del Sol?
It's not in Plaza del Sol. I can't remember. We met with some friends from San Diego in Barcelona and we took them in there. I can't remember where exactly it's from.
Oh, now
Malaysia.
You have to tell me where.
I'll let you know.
There's
and
one
the
in
Calle
Verde that is very famous for their vermouth. It's this very tiny one.
Is it a
close
corner?
To the theater. Yeah, it is in the corner and it's close to the movie theater, to Cine Verde. Maybe it's...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a special place.
This one, it's old. I mean, it's the decoration is from the 70s maybe. Not even 80s or 90s. 70s or even maybe
we have
earlier.
So many places like that in Barcelona that are just so full of history. I mean, all of Europe, but specifically Barcelona, so full of history and charm. And it's, it's an unbelievable place. Oh, I need more cava. I need more corpinat. So do you.
Let's do it. Me too.
Yes.
There's with my girlfriends from my town. I'm from outside Barcelona. It's a town called Molins de Rei.
Yes.
And so my girlfriends are the same ones from elementary school that we've been together many years, and we have daily contact now with WhatsApp and all these applications. With them, 3 or 4 summers ago, before COVID, we rented a house there in Penedès, and we rented some bikes, and we went. It's called Burricleta.
Okay.
And it's all these bikes, electric bikes, that they have
how can I say? Like space for a basket?
Two baskets. Okay. So they're like a
picnic basket?
Exactly, more or less, yes. So you take these bikes and you get out from Villafranca, and you go all these kind of like little roads, not roads, but little ways in between the vineyards.
Oh, it's like the route of Cava, the Cava route.
Yes, and then you end up, in one winery, and then you go to another. And it was so nice. It was a very nice experience.
I've been to Penedès, but I haven't done it like that, and that sounds perfect.
I don't know
about biking after visiting many wineries.
Yeah, well, then you go
yeah, you eat a little bit.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
So your tortilla de patata, I'm sure, is amazing.
Yes, I have to say it's really good. A very good tortilla.
Okay, so do you, because I know there are different styles and different versions of tortilla de patata, and I like it when it's runny in the middle. I mean, I always like tortilla de patata, but the one that is runny in the middle, so a little bit undercooked, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, mine's are like this, like a little bit undercooked, and then I have mine's are with onion.
Okay.
So some people
the paella thing, right? Onion, no onion. It's this whole debate.
Yes. So mine are with onion, potato. That's all.
No tomato.
No tomato.
Okay.
No,
so I heard this trick, and that's how my husband does it. It's very good, to be honest. But he adds tomato to it. He scrapes tomato. And it's a trick actually that we learned there in Barcelona. And it's for it to be moist.
Oh, I never heard that.
You can't see it. It's just scraped into the mix. I'm giving out secrets.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, no, some people, I've never heard about the tomato, but some other people, they put some milk also.
Oh.
So it gets also moist.
Yeah, they're moist.
Yeah.
You're just making them so good that you don't need to add anything.
I love it.
Yeah.
The way natural, just, egg, onions and potatoes, that's all. And it's,
So I love tortilla de patata, but I think that I probably only tried to make it once, but because my husband loves it so much, he's the one that mastered it. So now when I want to have it, I'm like, can you please make one? And sometimes he's like, no, I'm like, come on, please make a tortilla de patata. Or if I'm going somewhere and, I'm like, hey, I'm going somewhere, I want to bring one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, can you make one?
I'll tell him that you made it. I'll give you credit.
I always give him credit for the tortilla de patata. Yeah.
It's one of the things that I normally bring to places when we do a potluck or something.
It's so good.
And people love it.
It's so good. And I mean, if it's warm, it's nice. Even cold, it's
not next day. The tortilla de patatas, the next day, it's very, very good.
And for me, the bocadillo de tortilla de patata, like a sandwich, just the bread.
Yeah,
with the scraped tomato and the tortilla de patata in the middle. Oh, so good.
It's the simple pleasures. It's because it's just like 3 ingredients, right? And some salt, maybe, and olive oil, but that's all.
But I think that Catalunya really showcases that, the simple pleasures. There are so many amazing aspects of life there. The food, the culture, of course, the people, the history, it's like such deep roots.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes across, I think, internationally now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great place. place to be.
You have to go back.
Yeah.
To visit.
Well, speaking of going back, would you move back to Catalonia?
At some point, yes. At some point, yes. I think now we're still enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the business and we're enjoying it. I'm still passionate about the shoes, about the business, everything. But eventually, you know, when the kids grow up and they are in college or who knows. I mean, I don't like to make plans because unexpected things happen. And but eventually, you know, I think so. We'll move there. Yes.
Have a vermouth every day.
Yes, every Sunday. Meet yeah. with friends and have
vermouth. And calzots.
Oh, you see, this is one of the things that I miss the most about the food, because the food, you can have it here, right? You can go to Jaleo, like José yeah. Andrés restaurant, and have, you know, like a beautiful rosejat and a beautiful food. But calzots, I've never seen anywhere.
But even if you did, you wouldn't be having them at a masia, which is, I think, part
yes.
of the whole
yeah.
of the whole beauty. What is calzots in English? I have no clue.
It's like it's an onion, but I think it only grows there, so it's typical from there. So it's a special onion,
very long,
and then you just eat the end, mm-hmm. but you
with romesco
with a sauce, yes. And then, but you peel it a little bit to remove the first layers, and then you dip it in the romesco sauce, and you eat it like that.
And you have to be wearing a bib.
Yes.
And gloves.
You see
some
that?
Some of my best memories are with calzots.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that I miss the most. And it's typical now in February, March. It's the season of calzots.
Yeah, it's
yeah, we should do something.
Yeah. Well, the backyard, maybe we can figure out how to plant calzots. Yeah, calzots are
but it's the full ceremony also, because you meet, normally you go with a family or with a group of friends, and you sit down there and you have the calzots, then you have the butifarra with beans, right? Like butifarra, it's like the sausage yeah. with beans.
With white beans, right?
With the white beans. And
the porrón. So the wine is placed in this container called a porrón that you, I have a great story of using the porrón. you everyone drinks from this container. It's like I don't even know how to explain it. It's a container.
Glass.
It goes in and out. It has this small opening.
Yes.
And everyone's drinks
you
from
do.
It. You have to tilt your head and just let it drop into your mouth.
Yes.
You have very good aim. And some great stories of losing that aim. And,
getting dirty.
Completely soaked in red wine.
Wow.
Yeah, so good.
No, there's some people, they drink, I mean, they get the porrón, and they're like kind of like far away, and they start like, you know, drinking.
So I can do it from far away. I've done it a few times from far away, but sometimes it doesn't end too well.
That's fun.
do you, I'm sure you have a porrón at home, right?
Yes, we have two porrons.
Very cool. Yeah,
we have it.
We have a porrón also that we were, I can't remember now the name of the town, but it's in Costa Brava.
Oh,
and we got
Costa
it there. And yeah, it's been traveling with us ever since. So yeah, mm-hmm. It's very cool. So yeah, those are just beautiful traditions.
Yeah, sometimes weird traditions.
Yeah.
Right?
I think every culture has those like weird, quirky traditions, and it just kind of adds to the fun of it and to the experience of being a part of a community and learning from each other. And
exactly.
It's really cool. So I know your kids go to
a German school.
So it's they must be learning also all these other traditions, right? I mean,
yeah, they
just living here and with the group of friends they have from so many different places of the world.
It's a gift. Yeah, it's nice because they can get, you know, exposure to different countries, just being here. But yeah, they have a, they go to a charter school that they specialized in German language. And in elementary school, for example, it was a week. All the assignments and everything was were in German, and the following week in English. So like that, all. So yeah, they can speak in German and understand it.
So they speak Spanish. Well, they speak English, Spanish, Catalan, and German.
In German, yeah. Well, German they're learning. So mm-hmm. I hope, you know, that someday they can have, you know, like a good level, so they can go someday to Munich or Dublin.
Berlin.
Berlin. The Berlin was in my mind. And you know, and socialize in, yeah. in German. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, German must be a pretty difficult language to learn, but if you've been exposed to so many languages when you're so young, I mean, they can pick it up so much quicker.
So. Yeah, yeah, they're doing good. So it's nice.
And
it's,
I have plenty of friends that have this happening, even with their kids, that they're learning several languages at the same time because, you know, the mom is French, the dad is Italian. They wow. they learn English at school, amazing. And the nanny is Mexican.
Wow.
So it's the four different languages wow. going on. It's
but that's amazing. Like being a kid and having all these.
But kids are sponges, right?
Yeah.
They soak it all in.
And it's not an effort for them. I mean, it's like, okay, now German. Okay, let's do German. It's not like, you know, like us, at least in our age or yeah. my age, is like starting from scratch. It's kind of like sometimes it's like
no, it is.
More
it,
challenging, it is. Right? It's but for them, way. They get it, you know, as a normal thing. And it's fascinating because sometimes we've been in groups and there's, not in German, but for example, there's someone, you know, that speaks Spanish and another. For example, now my parents are here visiting and they speak only Catalan and Spanish.
Hola, papá y mamá. Saludos a papá y mamá.
So when they look at them and when they speak to them, it's in only in Catalan, but in this group, if someone would be, you know, like from here, they would turn and speak in English. And so they have this.
Yeah, they have the ability,
to
jump
change
from one to the other.
Like that.
Oh, must be nice.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, so am I. I started to learn Italian in my 30s. And you know, you would think.
In your 30s.
Yeah, well, wait, was I in my 30s when I started? I think so. In my late 30s. So it was not that easy anymore. And you would think it should have been, right? Because Spanish is my first language and it's a very similar in a way, but no, not that easy. I love it. And now I feel confident in it, but it definitely took me, it took time and it took more time and more effort than I'm sure it would have taken a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's something in the brain, you know, that. But it's funny because if you know Italian, then some words sound like Catalan.
Catalan.
There are some words like finestra,
yeah.
Like window.
Window.
Yeah, or forquilla, it's mm-hmm. forqueta. So similar.
I had a. I would have. Very long conversations in Catalan. We're especially going to the market because people would, I mean, in Gracia, they would refuse to speak to me in Spanish, which is fine. They would speak to me in Catalan and yeah. I would answer in Spanish, but it was fine. We communicated and I always remember our dog, Nyonya. We would take him to the vet and everything was in Catalan, and aww. The vet would speak to him in Catalan, and he would just say, "You are a Catalan dog." Oh. Speak to the dog in Catalan, and you know, September 11th, which in Catalonia is not the same thing as here. Nyonya, we would put a Catalan flag. Oh. We would wrap him in a Catalan flag, and he would go marching.
Oh, that's cute!
Yeah,
I'm sure everybody cute. Was. We're telling you something.
Yeah,
that
because
about
he
dog.
Was marching. Yeah. Yeah, it was super cute.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. September 11th, there it's a big day. It's the the national day. That's so Catalonia. People go outside in the streets and wear flags and stuff.
There's so many cool, I wouldn't say parties, but it's not really parties, like festivities and just different dates that are honored and so on.
Oh, the I don't know if your favorite was Sant Jordi.
Oh my God, yes, yeah. Sant Jordi,
the streets and everything.
Yeah, Sant Jordi was my favorite, the day of books and roses.
It's a nice tradition. It's nice.
So till this day, a good friend, he works in Passeig de Gràcia, and every year he sends me a picture of all the bookstores lined up, and he sends me a picture of a rose with the ribbon. So yeah, it's very
that's
nice.
That's so nice.
It's very nice.
It's a beautiful day, and all the streets full of like rose stands,
yes,
and books, and then you have all the writers there like signing the books, and it's nice.
I'm trying to remember because for Sant Jordi we went to Palacio de Música Catalana, just a beautiful building, and it was a presentation of a book it's one of my favorite books, and now I can't remember the name of the author.
What's
La Sombra del Viento. What's the name of the author of La Sombra del Viento?
Arturo. No.
Oh my God.
La Sombra del Viento.
I forgot the name.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But anyways, this author.
No, me too. And I have this book.
Yeah, me too. I love it. It's an amazing book, and I can't remember his name. But anyways, we went to a presentation at his second, I think it was his second or third book after this one, and yeah, it was amazing. It was beautiful, all in Catalan. I didn't care.
No, just being in that place,
it's gorgeous, it's stunning. So yeah, I guess those are the things that you miss.
Yeah, those traditions, but we continue this tradition here. So every year we gift, books to our kids, and my husband also gives me a rose from our garden.
Beautiful.
So we keep all these traditions, and the kids, we explain these traditions to the kids so they know, where we come from, and because at the end also my parents live there, my brother, nephews, everything. So it's part.
Yeah, it's that
every summer they go there. They're they follow the costumes and
it's the beauty, right? I mean, you can live here in a different country that embraces all these traditions. I mean, so that's how I feel about Día de los Muertos, right? Día de los Muertos is such a special date for in my culture in Mexico and in the U.S. now. I mean, it's recognized, it's respected, it's valued. Everything, the lunar year was a few days ago, or yesterday, I think it's going on now, and I was seeing all these different festivities around it, and it's so nice to live in a place that embraces all these cultures, and I guess that's what really brings people together in the U.S., right? Just
right, and getting to know also these cultures, because otherwise, I mean, if you don't travel, then or don't read, or don't, then you don't find out about these traditions. So it's good that they're happening here,
and having that curiosity to just go and explore and learn,
totally,
and try different foods, explore different wines from different regions, and it's a magical way of living, I think, and we're privileged to have it. We're very privileged to have exposure to so much around us,
And having Mexico right here.
I mean, we're so close to the border, and that opens another level, even of traveling possibilities, right? I mean, you cross the border, catch a flight to so many great places in Mexico.
Oh yeah,
I know you love going to Valle.
Yes, actually, I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to Valle? You're taking your parents?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, I want to show them, my favorite restaurants, wineries, and everything.
Oh, very
yeah,
cool.
It's as you said, it's a privilege to have Mexico right here, and that we were able just to drive our car down there. So and now that El Valle, there's so many, you know, amazing chefs and good food, and so I want to show them.
Are you guys staying in Valle or in Ensenada?
Yes, yeah, we're staying in Valle.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very cool place.
Yeah.
A lot of cool activities, amazing food, and you know, Mexicans are so nice.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to say that.
Always. Of course, you are.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want you to share, and you'll probably have to think a little bit about it, because, and why? Because you probably have had many moments, but
okay.
So I part of the whole thing with the Wine Voyage as a podcast, or even just as the experiences that we offer, it's really bringing people together, sharing food and wine. But at the end of the day, food and wine is
the excuse.
So food and wine is the excuse to bring people together,
yes,
and to find common grounds and to talk about the things that we all care for, to connect, to build communities, and so on. So with that in mind, can you think of special moments in your life where wine was involved, wine was at the table, it was there, and you had those, and you had an aha moment, like this moment of, wow, like this is bringing us together, this is connecting, this is a moment that I will remember, this will stay with me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have to think that much. Every time I cross the border and I'm in El Valle, and I'm normally every Thanksgiving we go with different like families, like different friends, like a nice group of people that I love them. It's like kind of like our family here. So we spend Thanksgiving there in El Valle. So every time we are there and we go to a winery, we are sitting there, it's like, wow, that we're lucky to be here together also, that we have people to share, you know, the Thanksgiving or any day. You know, I'm thankful that I have this group of friends and I have someone that I can rely. And being surrounded in these beautiful wineries, like I have a moment in Cava, Vena Cava, this past Thanksgiving, we were with a group of like three friends. Like we left the families and the kids and the husband in the house.
So it was a girl's moment.
And the three of us, we went to Vena Cava because we had an Airbnb right next to the winery. And we were there like, just like chatting and sipping on these like beautiful wines and having like a nice moment.
And it's, you know, like the type of moments that just fill your soul.
Yeah, exactly. And that you don't need anything else. I mean, you are there and in a beautiful place, and it's special. But yeah, many, like I have this moment, but I also have, you know, like moments like when friends come over and we sit down outside in our patio and we were like, we are sharing this table that we have outside in our house, that our neighbors from the warehouse made it. So it's a unique table. So it's like, wow, like so nice, you know, to be surrounded here with beautiful people and like beautiful inside.
Yes,
inside.
Yes. Yes, of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's why I say, I mean, food and wine really is the excuse. It's what brings us together around the table to talk, to connect, to share, for us to learn more about each other. I mean, now I learned so much about you. I mean, yes. And I thought I knew you well, but now I know a lot of details.
Yeah.
And it's so lovely, right? Because at the end of the day, it's that we all want the same things. We all have the basic needs, and we all want to love and be loved.
Exactly. And we are lucky, you know, to be here and to be, to have, you know, like found out this group of friends and people that came by to, you know, in your path.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know, like
did that
organically.
Take you some time? Because that, I think that, I mean, that can be challenging, right? Making friends.
Sometimes, yeah.
When you, making friends when you move, and also when you move at an age, like older, not older, but like at a later stage in your life, right? I mean, you moved already married.
I mean, it was unbelievable because most of us, we met kind of organically, that we met one person in a park, you know, when the kids were little, and then some other person knew some other person that was also from Spain, and turns out that I knew her too, and then it was like that. So we met, all of us, we met one day in the park, and from that day, it's been, our kids were like, it's been 10 years that we've been together, and we celebrate, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Sure, so many birthday
we go
parties.
To camping. Yeah. And the kids also, they're friends. And so it's nice. And it came all like very organically somehow. I mean, it was, we always talk about it, mm-hmm. and it was like, wow, like amazing.
That's awesome that it happened. I mean, it doesn't always happen that way. I mean, you hear stories of people, you know, it sometimes takes time to find a group of friends and just to find your place in a new,
yeah.
in a new city.
Yeah.
And that's so awesome that it worked out.
Yeah.
For you guys so quickly, and that you have a family, and you have a family outside of your blood family.
Yes.
Here in San Diego.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Noelia.
No,
this was
my pleasure.
So, so lovely.
Thank
Muchísimas
you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
It was, I love talking with you and
me
just
too.
sharing wine and stories and our, yeah, and love for life and for Spain and for Catalonia.
Oh,
and,
you're making me. thank you for this opportunity and the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Salud.
Salud.